Greetings from Lake Blaine Baptist Bible Camp. We are towards the end of the junior high camp this week, and Pastor Andrew asked me to give you a short update, a brief devotional, and so I'd like to do that here for us this afternoon. For those of you who may not know us yet, we are missionaries in Brazil with Baptist Missions. Here you can see a photo of our family. On the left-hand side is Luke. Then there's John beside him. David is our oldest, who is heading to Faith Baptist Bible College this fall. Then my wife Ellen and I. In the back row beside David is Paul. And then Mark. Those are the five boys that God has blessed my wife and I with that we are very grateful for. We serve in the city of Curitiba, which is the capital of the state of Paraná in southern Brazil. It's a city of about 3.6 million people, counting the metropolitan area, of which the city that we live in is one of the surrounding suburbs. And we are very grateful for how God has been using you to help support us as we're in Brazil, both in prayer and financially. God has been using you to help plant and grow churches in Brazil and beyond. We've been working the last few years in Igreja Batista Vitória and are transitioning out of that ministry now, which I'll be speaking more of later. Here you can see a picture of our church building and some of the church family during one of the anniversary celebrations. Pastor Rafael is a Brazilian pastor now who has been doing an excellent job. Last furlough, we made a request for building a pastoral house in a corner of the church property that you can see here, marked out in yellow. And we praise God that He has provided for that. The church, this pastoral house, has now been built. You can see a picture of it here. Just before it was finished, they hadn't quite finished all the painting yet, but the pastor was already eager to move in. This is the entire floor level of the house, and above that is another level just as big as you can see here. So you notice it's not that big of a house, but it's fairly typical for a Brazilian house. And we're grateful that our church, basically through the years of not having a Brazilian pastor and being setting aside a money, you know, year by year, they are able to save up enough to be able to pay for all this construction on their own. And we praise God for that. But now we ask that you would pray with us for wisdom and God's provision in planting a new church. You can see on this map here, each of the yellow pins mark out an area where there's already a church established or a church being planted. The blue circle in the upper half of the screen is our house. The lower blue circle is the Bible college where we teach. And we are seeking God's direction for where to plant a church now. One of the things that complicates the process, though, is these areas that are marked by blue are areas that basically the government says we don't want there to be much more of any kind of development. In essence, we can't build a church there. And so still trying to stay within approximately half hour radius of our home or the seminary, we're looking at these two areas. Both are not highly developed. There's some houses, not a lot of houses, but they're areas that are a more affordable area. Prices have really gone up in the last 5 years or so. So it's been very expensive to buy property anywhere towards the main part of town. We're having to look on the outskirts. So please pray for wisdom as we seek God's direction in that regard for a new church plant. God has also been using you to help train the next generation of pastors and missionaries in Brazil and beyond. This is through our involvement in Seminário Batista Regular do Sul. Been teaching there since 2009. God has been blessing us to be able to continue being a part of this ministry. This last school year, they had about 15 students, if I remember right, which is the lowest number since we've arrived there, one of the lowest in their history, probably. And so we've really been struggling financially, but we praise God that month by month, there's been money to pay the bills. Not necessarily for more than a month, but month by month, God keeps providing. It's kind of like the widow's oil, that God keeps providing enough for us to continue functioning. And we're very grateful for that. But please pray for wisdom in regards to the future of the school. Please pray that God would bring us more students. There are some new ones considering coming this next semester, which will be starting in August. So please pray in that regard. One of the new students that we had this year is Luis and his family. If you might remember from last furlough us mentioning him, he had gotten saved in our church recently and become a very active part of the ministry, been a real blessing to the church, and it's been exciting to have him now as a student this year. Been doing an excellent job. You can really see his heart for the Lord and heart for the lost. Another student I wanted to point out here is the girl on the far right-hand side of this photo here, Laura. She and her husband recently arrived in Brazil as the newest missionaries with Baptist for Missions. Warren Vergiles was a missionary kid who grew up in Brazil, came to the United States to study, but after graduating, got in contact with Laura, who was studying at our Bible college. They ended up getting married, came back to the States, raised support, and have just recently arrived back in Brazil again as our newest missionaries. We praise God for that. What's the future of our Bible college? We really don't know, because like I said, we're struggling financially. We trust God to continue providing for us year by year and enabling us to continue to move forward, but we really don't know what the future holds. So please pray for us. Please pray for wisdom. If it were to close, what would the Farlows do? Well, one of the options might be to continue in the area and develop an online-focused school. A lot of our costs are involved with the size of campus that we have and the maintenance and all that's involved with that. So we could cut back costs and continue functioning more in an online way. That's one of the possibilities. Another possibility would be to move to northeastern Brazil to the city of Natal. This is where I grew up and where Ellen grew up near there. It's also where Ellen's brother is teaching at another Bible college there. So we could go up and help out with that Bible college. That would be another possibility. But we are trusting and seeking God's guidance and his leading, and we ask that you pray for us in that regard. Brazil is a huge country, and there are still lots of needs all over it. So there's still plenty for us to do, regardless of what happens within our city of Curitiba. There are also far fewer missionaries in Brazil than there used to be. So the needs continue to be great, but the laborers are getting fewer and fewer. This map here pinpoints where all the missionaries with Baptist missions are located right now. Of course, there are other mission agencies in the country, but with our mission agency, these are the missionaries that are in the country right now. And if you look at the city of São Paulo down in southern Brazil, there's a bunch of circles stacked on each other because there's quite a few missionaries right in that region. But one of the things you need to realize is that in 15 years, the projected number of missionaries with Baptist missions is going to be considerably less. Now, they're spread out in the country in these areas because that's where the populations are. Here on this map, you can see the larger circles represent higher population densities. So you see they're mostly along the coast in the southern part of Brazil. That's where our missionaries are right now. But in 15 years, like I said, the projection is to be only 7 couples in the entire country. Now, when we first arrived in the city of Curitiba a little over 10 years ago, there were 9 missionary couples. And now it's down to 2 of us, ourselves and the Alexanders. So there have been big changes in our city, but even bigger changes coming to the entire country, to the point where in 15 years, if no new missionaries come, there will be in the entire country less missionaries than there were in our city of Curitiba when we first arrived a little over 10 years ago. So please pray. Pray for more missionaries. Fewer missionaries means more work for the Brazilians, and they're doing an excellent job stepping up to the plate. Really good job. But it also means more planning for the missionaries, and I believe it emphasizes even more the importance of training pastors and missionaries. As there are fewer of us, one of the best things we can do is to work to provide training for them to carry on the work after us. But there are still many areas of Brazil in which pioneering missionaries are needed. So please pray for more missionaries. In our last few minutes here, Pastor Andrew asked me to give 10 to 15 minute update and devotional here. I'd like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, just for a brief challenge from God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, in this chapter, Moses is speaking to the generation of Israelites that were now once again on the borders of the promised land, ready to cross over Jordan and take possession of the land. Remember, their forefathers had also been in that similar situation, but they did not have faith, did not trust in God, and so God made them walk in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died. Now this new generation is facing the same opportunity. And in this chapter, which we don't have the time in 5 minutes here to delve into, Moses reminds them of their history, reminds them of how during those 40 years in the desert, God taught them that it was God who provided for them, and it was not their own strength or ability that took care of them. One of the primary examples in this passage is how God provided manna for them, and how that was a miraculous provision day by day, where daily they had to depend on God's provision. And so then Moses goes on in the next verses to talk about the wonderful land that they'll come into, verses 7 and following. But I especially want us to notice verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there is no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before thy face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So basically he is saying, once you come into the land, and things begin to get easy, you begin to prosper, and everything is going well, don't be tempted to forget God. Don't be tempted to think, it was my strength and my ability that has brought me to this place of prosperity. But rather, look back in time. Remember those 40 years in the wilderness. Remember how through the difficult times it was God that provided for you. And recognize that even now, when things are easy, it's God that gives you the strength to carry on. And so, all of us in these last months have gone through difficult times. Some maybe more than others, but the entire world has been impacted. And with our situation at the seminary and questions about when to start a church plant or not, seeing the complications of the situation, the seminary and so forth, there's a lot of things up in the air for us. It's a difficult time that we're going through as we seek God's direction. But we know in the past God has provided for us. We know that he will continue to guide and direct us. And as things hopefully start getting back to normal for you and for us, we need to remember, not forget, that during those hard times, it was God that took care of us. And so as things become easier once again, remember that it's still God that strengthens us. It's still God that guides and directs us. It's still God that takes care of us. So I hope during the trials you may have faced in these last times, you've drawn closer to God. But once again, as things get easier, don't let that be for naught. But remember what God has taught you. Continue, persevere in that hopefully closer relationship in which you've drawn to God. And trust him as he continues to guide you in the future. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you again for your prayers and your support. We really appreciate it.